Hello, friends, and welcome to the Haunted Buffalo Podcast with your host, Eric Charles T. That's me. I have so much to talk about today. It's been a very long time since the last podcast, and yes, I do have a little bit of a throat thing going on, so if you can bear with my voice, I would be most appreciative. Hopefully my throat will have better manners for next month's episode. I know it's been a long time since the last podcast, and I apologize. There's been so much going on. I have been invited to event after event. I returned to the Van Horn for a seance with Reverend Tim Shaw and Karen Bennett. They did gallery readings, and it was table tipping, and the audio from that is fantastic. I was at the Buffalo Naval Park overnight, where I got my first official EVP, which was pretty creepy. I was completely by myself. I walked up to the second deck, and you can hear me breathing, and in between my breath, you hear a voice that I didn't hear at the time say, "I am here." It's either "I am here" or "come here." When I get to that episode, I'll play it for you, and you can be the judge. Maybe let me know what you think. I've got footage from the Dnipro Ukrainian Center. I have been to the Buffalo Central Terminal for four nights. That was another amazing weekend. The Akron House in Akron, New York, or the Akron Hotel, I'm sorry, which is an event that's upcoming with Beyond Ghost, I think, next week maybe, or the week after. I stopped by briefly at Iron Island Museum. I was invited by Mike David Jensen to go check it out, so that's a place I definitely want to get back to and see again. And a lot of these places, you know, a lot of these are just events through Beyond Ghost. So, you know, if you're interested in checking out one of the events or going to be on a ghost hunt, take your own equipment, or glom onto another group of people, that's what it's all about. It's very interesting. I've got some upcoming interviews with psychics and with a voodoo priestess out of Buffalo here, and those should be very interesting. There's just been so many good things. I'll also be attending a few events upcoming. You can come and see me over at the Club Dnipro. I believe it's September 15th. There will be a holistic and metaphysical fair at Dnipro Ukrainian Center on September 15th here in Buffalo. And that will be followed by a ghost hunt at the facility. If you're a vendor or you have a group and you want to have a table there, it's only $20. I mean, you really can't beat that. And the people come out, check you out, and you know the guests are going to have a great time, and it's going to be a great experience. And that place is beautiful if you haven't been there already. The upstairs, you know, it's a wonderful ballroom. Just vintage look everywhere. It's delightful. It's probably the best way I can say. So don't miss it. That is also going through Beyond Ghosts, and you can check more out on that. I'll post a link on my Facebook and website and stuff. But you can also go to beyondghosts.com. That's Beyond Ghosts with an S, .com, and reserve your table or get more info. That's going to be an awesome time. Once again, that is September 15th at the Dnipro Ukrainian Center in Buffalo, New York. And there's also in the fall, the Jamestown Paranormal Convention, which I'll also put some information for that on my website and whatnot. So you can get involved in that one, too. There's so many things that are going to be coming up. It's getting to be the season. You know, my season's all year, but, you know, there is that fall deal going on. Do you guys hear a baby crying? I think there's a baby crying. Maybe it's an EVP. Oh, nope, it's my daughter, Tabitha. It's her. She's two today and waking up from a nap, so I'm going to take a quick break and go and tend to her. But I'll be back with some stories. Probably pretty quick, too. Didn't I tell you I'd be right back? Our first story is from Lisa Pfeiffer from Batavia, New York. That, I believe, is in Erie County. This was not my first experience at this point in my life, but this is one of the first memorable and creepiest experiences of my life that I can't explain. Back in October of 2000, I was a 15-year-old freshman attending Batavia High School. We had what was known as Spirit Week, local football parties at the school, come to school in crazy clothes, that type of stuff. Well, what would also happen is the females that are freshmen and the seniors would team up as partners and go do stuff together for a night. It was the school's tradition. I partnered up with a neighbor of mine, and we went in a large group, probably about 20 to 30 of us, all together. We went to Tully's for dinner, and then they blindfolded us, take us to an unknown location. I had no idea where we were going, but it was around Halloween time, so I figured one of those haunted houses people put together. On our way to our destination, our van was stopped by a man in a red truck telling us to not be out too late. and basically warning us about where we were going and not to cause trouble. Again, I really wasn't sure where we were going, except that I thought this man gave us a blanket warning to be careful as part of the whole scheme, to scare us. When we reached our destination, it was this old, run-down, two-story blue house in the middle of nowhere in Alexander, New York. The house looked like it had been empty for obviously many years. The door was gone from the front of the house, and the house was in complete disarray. You could not go too far into the house since the floors had collapsed, but oddly enough, an old piano was right at the front door, all chipped and damaged. If anything, it looked really creepy. I didn't know much about the house at the time. The only light we had was the full moon that was out, and a few flashlights the seniors had brought with them. The dare was, in groups of two, to go into the house and play the keys of the piano for a certain length of time. I don't remember how long, but I believe it was only a minute. I was the first person to walk into the house with my friend Emily. I was more on the inside of the house, on the other end of the piano, where Emily was right next to the front door. I could see that the floor and the stairs were caved in, so I made sure not to step too far away. As we started playing random keys on the piano, I kept hearing a faint noise. I struggled to listen, and it slowly became louder, and my initial thinking was, oh, well, they put a ghostly cassette tape in here to scare us. I tried to look around, but I couldn't really see where they would put it. You couldn't go any further into the house than where I was at. When I asked Emily if she heard anything, and I know I asked her more than once, she said she didn't hear anything. I was a bit perplexed at this point, but the noises became louder and louder, to the point where there was no way she could not hear exactly what I was hearing, so I asked her, "Are you sure? It's so loud." I mean, I was basically raising my voice to her, because it didn't make any sense. As the talking gradually got louder, I could make out three distinctly different creepy voices that were talking, and I could hear what they were saying. Then I realized that I wasn't hearing voices outside of my ears, but I was hearing them in my own head. They were saying very nasty things. "Have you ever seen the Exorcist movies and heard the voices? I swear to God, take that and add three voices." Out of all of the things that were said, one thing I remember being said, because it still creeps me out today:
"We're gonna rape you."
Now, as I'm hearing these voices, I am seeing three things in my mind, which is kind of weird. As each voice was speaking, which they were basically talking over each other, I was seeing three colors in my mind in the shapes of heads. Almost cartoony, but not completely. One was red, one was blue, and one was green. I don't understand that part, but it's part of what happened. I was so freaked out, I ran out of the house and off the porch. My senior partner looked at me, all confused. I didn't even have much time left to stay in the house, but I ran out. I asked her flat out if she had a tape recorder in there, trying to make sense of everything, and she said no. After everyone was done taking their turns, we walked around the property until we left. The only other thing a lot of people saw was black shadows in the upstairs portion. I have to admit, I saw them myself going past the windows, but I can see this as a trick of the eye. We didn't have cameras or anything either. Later on, when we were alone, I asked her the question again and I told her what happened. She insisted that no one brought a cassette tape or anything, and as we were leaving, no one went to the home to retrieve anything. My biggest worry about going home was something following me. Nothing did, but I still couldn't sleep at night for a month. It took a long time for the memory of those voices to fade away. Just the thought used to creep me out, and even typing it out. About 2 or 3 years later, I came across one of my friend's websites. He dabbled a bit in photography, and happened to have pictures of the home on his website, and the alleged story that went in the house. Apparently, the man in the house became insane and murdered a woman in the house before killing himself. This was actually the first time since that happened that I had heard anything about the house being part of a murder or even being haunted. He also wrote that the house had been torn down. Recently, I messaged him to see if I could get some copies of the photos since they are no longer on his website. Hopefully, I will have them soon. Thank you very much, Lisa, for that story. That was very creepy. Lisa did contact me after that and mentioned that she did acquire a space for a blog and she is trying to get those photos. So if they do, I'll be sure to mention it and check out for a link on either the Facebook for The Haunted Buffalo or www.thehauntedbuffalo.com. This next story is from my friend Kelly Pepper out in Sacramento, California. She writes, "My brother passed away in a motorcycle accident last November. While I felt I had a different kind of contact with my brother after his death, my mother, only recently, started finding dimes in very strange places. She told me about this last week and was pleased as she had heard of dimes from heaven before. I was skeptical, but happy for her, as she had struggled to find peace around my brother's passing. She had begun waiting for a sign from him that he was okay. For her, these mystery dimes were that sign. Most Easter Sundays, we would get together as a family, including my brother. I was hit hard over last Easter weekend, missing my brother terribly. Monday, I posted pictures of our family's Easter Sunday together, only with one person missing. After posting these pics, I started bawling immediately and had to leave for work. I went home and was trying to pull myself together to go out to dinner with my husband, but was still very upset. I went to change purses for dinner and shook out the empty one first, an action I very rarely do, and out dropped a dime. A single dime. Nothing else, just a dime. I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. I am still struggling to understand what this dime means for me exactly. I have, from the time of his passing, had a sense of peace about where he might be after death. He had a very kind heart. I have not worried about his well-being. When a dime dropped out of my purse, I was missing him terribly, and the dime did little to alleviate that pain. Maybe he wanted to let me know he misses me too. That would bring me some comfort. Maybe it's selfish for me to feel that way. I think we both know we'll see each other again someday. It's nice to think he is looking forward to that day too. Incidentally, I am friends with Kelly on Facebook, and she had written further about finding more dimes and posted some pictures in places, you know, like a candy dish, she would find four dimes, or on a table, random places that there'd be no purpose. If she writes more, I'll definitely continue the story, and if I can get the pictures from her, I'll put those up on the website too. And this whole coinage from heaven thing is, it's interesting, because another friend of mine from right here in West Falls, Heather, she had told me about her house and the pennies that she would find, and, you know, the same thing, like a relative had mentioned to her about ghosts leaving pennies. It becomes a thing, so if you've got stories about pennies, send them in. Maybe we can do a whole episode just on pennies. That'll be nice for a change. This next story is by Katie from Texas. I've never been a skeptic. Ever since I was a small child, I felt supernatural activity around me. It's never been foreign and only scared me a few times, but it always seemed to be completely natural. My mother said that when I was a baby, I used to look intensely at a certain part of the room and somehow ended up out of my crib before I even knew how to walk. My parents thought that was strange, but never really recognized what was going on around them. As I got older, mind you, we stayed in that house. It seemed the spirit became stronger. Maybe it was seeking my attention that I was no longer willing to give. My room became extremely cold. I live in Texas and it doesn't get colder in the summer. Nights are generally in the 80s and sometimes 90s, but in my bedroom, I could see my breath. I had to sleep with two portable heaters in my bedroom, which was absolutely unheard of. One night I fell asleep while watching TV and went to turn it off and saw a face staring at me. I then thought maybe I was imagining it and went up to the TV, and suddenly a loud screeching sound came out of my television. Pictures were thrown all around my house at a consistent basis. A videotape even flew at my mother. Just extremely strange happenings. I even saw scratches imprinting on my skin. My father also witnessed it. Many times while I was taking a shower, the curtain would fly up to the ceiling and fall back down. Once it even stayed on the ceiling. Every time this happened to me, it was followed by a shadow-like creature that seemed to be a man. Anyhow, my parents finally saw that our family wasn't safe, but they were unwilling to move due to all the memories we had in the house. So we had several priests come by and bless the house. Three times. Finally, the events became further in between, and it finally felt like the home wasn't possessed. I then moved out of the house and moved into a house with a girlfriend of mine. She began to see strange things. It had followed me, whatever it was. She woke up one evening and saw something transparent walking in the living room. I saw it as well, but on a different occasion. I was sleeping one night and felt a huge pressure on my chest, like someone was sitting on me, and it felt evil. I was paralyzed and literally couldn't move even if I tried. I then saw a figure, which I thought was my roommate, but quickly learned otherwise. It looked to be wearing a robe or a hood, something that was slightly covering its face, but I still saw the face. Its brows were pointed, and its smile almost seemed clown-like. It scared me, and I could tell it was not a spirit of good intention. It was evil, and probably the scariest thing I had ever felt. I called out for my roommate, and she came running into my room. She had to push the door extremely hard to get in. She said it was cold in my room, but I couldn't tell due to the shock I was in, and I was sweating. But it hasn't happened to me since then. We got that house blessed as well. This one is by Kevin from Minnesota. I live in a small town in Minnesota. At the age of around 6 is when this strange sighting took place. There was some sort of construction work being done in our backyard, and there was a deep hole or a trench dug up by a backhoe. The hole was around 10 feet deep and 30 feet long, as my memory serves. One day around noon, the workers were taking their lunch break, sitting in the shade, or standing a good 50 feet away from the trench. I, being a curious kid with nothing better to do, went over to peer into the trench, and that is when I saw a devil-like man looking up at me, laughing, but making no sound. I turned to see if anyone was close enough to witness this, and they weren't. So I turned back, and it was still there, laughing with its head bobbing. I had to show somebody, so I went to get one of the construction men. I ran up to this one worker and said, "There's a man in the hole." He ran over, thinking somebody had fallen in and needed help. When we got to the spot where I had seen the devil thing, there was none there. But the worker wasn't mad at me, because I think he knew I wasn't lying. I didn't tell him this man had red skin, a round head, and nub-like horns, and laughed without making a sound. I didn't see the rest of the body to give more detail. Who would believe a 6-year-old describing a devil creature? I am now 40, and still remember it well. This next snippet is by Eric from Buffalo, New York. Not me. He sent me an email, and it reads, "This is what I saw just about an hour and 10 minutes ago, at 9:50 or 10 o'clock-ish. I and my parents just saw something really strange. We were sitting outside my driveway. We were just talking about stuff. I had my binoculars with me because I was looking at the moon and Mars, just for the heck of it. While as we were talking, I saw what looked like normal planes, two of them, in the sky. I looked at the first one through the binoculars, and it looked normal except that I could see the passenger windows and thought it was odd that I could see them, like possibly the plane was lower than normal. I then looked at the other plane, and to my complete shock, I did not see an airplane. What I saw was what looked like a giant orange translucent glass light bulb, shaped a bit like a hot air balloon or a Pac-Man ghost. It looked lit from the inside. The thing was flying as fast or faster than the first plane. It was nuts. I think that the pilot of the first plane knew it was being followed. I started yelling something to the effect of, 'What the hell was that thing? Look, Dad!' And I gave him the binoculars. Our dog almost tripped him, because her rope we hooked her to had tangled around his feet, and by the time he got up, it had gone out of view behind the trees. However, my dad did see it, but now with binoculars. My mom had seen it also. She said it was bright orange. UFOs over Buffalo, New York." Thanks, Eric. Here's a few snippets of stories sent in by Fiona from Edinburgh, Scotland. The Edinburgh Vaults are a series of tunnels built beneath two bridges in the city of Edinburgh in 1785. It contains approximately 120 rooms. These rooms were used for storage for local businesses, brothels, and housing for the city's poor. This is where the famous Burke and Hare hunted and killed for bodies to sell to the local medical school. It's thought that these vaults were used for storing plague victims. The vaults got closed down in approximately 1835 and were eventually rediscovered in the 1980s. Nowadays, there are daily ghost tours down in the vaults with many recordings of paranormal activity, the most famous being in Annie's room in Mary King's Close, where many psychics have reported a spirit of a little girl. Annie has been known to grab people's hands whilst they are in the room. As a tribute, many people have taken to leaving toys for her. The staggering pile of dolls and toys adds to the eerie effect when visiting. I personally have been on 2 ghost tours while living here, both times experiencing ghostly presence. I've felt hot and cold sensations and heard threatening voices. I wasn't the only one to hear the voice. Also to add, these ghost tours don't add sound effects. It's not just the vaults that are haunted. I live in the old town of Edinburgh, where the majority of the buildings are 18th century tenements. You do get used to living in these buildings, but however, things that go bump in the night, they're not always what they seem. Thanks, Fiona. And this story is by Dory from Canada. The first time I realized we had a ghost in our house was one summer day when my siblings and I were in the washroom. I always heard stories about there had been a ghost in my house, but as the youngest, thought they were only trying to scare me. The washer and the dryer were right next to the stairs that led down to the basement. My brother and sisters, determined to prove that our house was haunted, had us all gather in the back room to be certain it wasn't a trick. My oldest sister began knocking on the wall. There was an immediate response from someone knocking in the basement. This continued for several minutes, but soon the gentle knocks from the basement turned into bangs. The bangs stopped and we heard footsteps coming up the basement stairs. We immediately proceeded out of the room, but before we could get out, the door began to close. We pulled it open and ran into the living room. After that, it was deadly silent. That same night, I awoke at the noise of someone tapping on the wall. I shared the bottom bunk with my sister, and the top bunk was empty, but the taps were coming from the top bunk. I woke up my sister, and the taps stopped. I am convinced it was the ghost. Every time we played the knocking game, there would be taps at night. The ghost in our house was most certainly of a young girl, for whenever we would do something such as slam a door, we could always hear a faint giggle as if coming from a child. The strange happenings continued until we moved from the house in 2001. I know that all sounds crazy, but it's 100% true. Thank you, Dory. This story is by Chris. This happened when I was around 7 or 8. Right now, I'm 17. It was a stormy night, and being the small child that I was scared, naturally. I went to my mother's bed, my parents are divorced, and asked if I could get in with her around midnight. She moved over and I got in. I started to sleep a little better, but about 3 hours later, I awoke suddenly, as I tend to be a sporadic kind of sleeper. When I awoke, the scariest thing was in front of me. A specter-type outline of the Grim Reaper was about 6 or 7 feet away from me. It stood there, glaring for about 20 or 30 seconds. It didn't talk, it just stared at me, and I hid under my mother's covers. I wonder now if that image of death was a foreshadowing of events, because since my freshman year of high school, 6 kids have died or have gotten into horrible accidents. That's 6 kids in less than 4 years. I've never told anyone this, but I've always been a believer in ghosts and the paranormal. I still can't figure it out, though. Thank you, Chris.
Hi, my name is Patty Patterson, and I have a couple of stories that I would like to share with you. They both pertain to my mom, who passed away in the year 2000. The first one was in the end of July of 2000. She died the end of June. So about a month later, I was home alone. My husband was away fishing for the week. And ironically, I had had my dog put down the beginning of May, too, which was pretty traumatic because we had her for 18 years. And so I'm laying in bed alone at the end of July, and I start to think about my mother, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, I don't want to go there. So I was thinking in my mind, I wasn't saying anything out loud, but in my mind, like mental telepathy, if you will, I was saying, gee, Mom, I hope you're in a good place. You know, don't vaporize in front of me because I don't think I could handle that. I'm here all alone. If you could just make like a loud noise and be gone, you know, then I'll know you're okay and everything's all right with you, you know. A few minutes had passed, and so I turned on my side and I started to try to go to sleep, and all of a sudden the telephone rang. Now, mind you, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, the house is dead, still quiet, and the phone rings, and I'm telling you, I nearly jumped out of my skin. I could feel and hear my heart pounding. And I reach over and I pick up the phone and dead silence, nothing there, no cracking, no dial tone, no nothing. And I'm like, okay, Mom, I guess that was your sign to me because I thought it was really amazing. And well, then I had talked to my sister the next day, my younger baby sister, and I had told her what had happened. And she's like, wow, that's something. She had visited my other sister and told and was telling my other sister the story like the next day. And as she's standing in my sister's kitchen telling her the story to my other sister, my sister's going, no kidding, that's amazing. And just when Kieran got to the point where the phone rang, my sister's phone rang. And my sister, you know, thinks again nothing of it, goes over and picks it up, and nothing there, no dial tone, no cracking, no nothing. And I just find that too coincidental. I just believe that was my mom reaching out in her way. And one more story I want to share with you was my mother's jewelry. My mother's persona was really jewelry, scarves, accessories. She was amazing. No matter how crappy she was feeling, she always had to put her jewelry, all her jewelry on, which to me seemed like a lot of work. I mean, I'm talking tons of necklaces, bracelets, whatever. Well, when she passed, though, we went and got her things, and we were storing them here. And 6 months later, it was Christmas, and I thought, you know, I really don't want to throw her jewelry away. Granted, it was all costume jewelry. It was really nothing special. But it might mean something to one of my nieces. So I debated, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to take it on Christmas Eve, because as we get together as a big family, and I'm going to have maybe the girls pick something out for my mom. Well, Tom, my husband, my wonderful husband, went downstairs, and he put everything in little individual boxes. Like, she wore clip-on earrings, like her earrings and her necklaces and her bracelets, and brought it upstairs and said, look, hon, I got all the jewelry ready to go. Well, I looked in the box, and I was instantly depressed because it was such a part of my mom. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. I don't want to bring all my siblings down on the first Christmas Eve without my mother. She's only been gone 6 months. So I hemmed and I hawed. Should I take it? Should I not take it? Finally, I decided, yes, I'm going to take it. And as it turns out, it was a wonderful decision. Because we took it upstairs in the upper bedroom, and I told my nieces on the side, hey, you want to go up? Well, as it turns out, one of my nieces took a pair of string of pearls and wore them on her wedding day. Another one took a pin that she had bought her, and as it turns out, it was a wonderful choice. But I'm going to really get to the gist of the story. So we come home, it's Christmas Eve. I had worn these long silver earrings. They were clip-ons. And they were on these round black circular things that every time I moved my head, they made these noise. It actually was driving me crazy. So I said to my husband, Christmas Eve night, hey, could you look at my earrings? I really want to wear them again tomorrow. Well, my husband, and it's amazing that my mother brought my husband into this little story, because my husband was very skeptic. He's a good Christian. He believes in life after death, but he doesn't believe in any of the other stuff, the spooky stuff or whatever. So she brought him into play into this, which I find fascinating. And I said to my husband, would you mind fixing these earrings for me? Every time I move my head, they make these terrible noise. And my husband did. And he says, Patty, the metal is so soft that hooks onto that round part, you're going to have to be really careful with them. So he saw me take them off together and set them gingerly on the top of my dresser in my bedroom. Christmas morning comes. Tim was living at home at the time. I mean, he was 22. And the kids came over, my granddaughter came over, and we hung out, you know. And it was that, you know, and they get ready to leave, and Ashley was only, oh my gosh, 3-4 years old. And so the next, they leave, and then I go to get my earrings off of my dresser. It's Christmas Day, Christmas afternoon. And I look, and there, my earrings were separated. The long silver pieces were shaped like a kiss, and the round, little round pieces were next to it like hugs. Now, I didn't put the kisses and hugs together. I just looked down at my earrings, and I went, what the heck? And Tim was downstairs at the time, and I said, Tim, were you in my bedroom? He goes, Mom, why would I touch your jewelry? No, Mom, I wasn't in your bedroom. And I know for a fact my granddaughter was not in my bedroom at all, because I had the doors closed, and she was so busy playing with her toys, she didn't even notice there was anything in there. Anyways, so I called my husband in, and I go, Tom, look at my earrings. And he looked at him and he went, oh my goodness, kisses and hugs. Well, that was it. My mother signed everything, kisses and hugs. Every card, every note, there was all these X's and these circles on them. So there's no doubt in my mind. I was on a high the whole rest of the day, because there was no doubt in my mind that my mom was, number one, thoroughly pleased with me taking that jewelry up, and number two, she wanted to show her appreciation. Some people might say, you're crazy, but you had to be here to see it, and there's not one doubt in my mind. So that's two stories that I have. I can tell you millions of other ones, but those are the two that really stick in my mind. So that's the end of my story. Okay, bye-bye.
Now, this is Chris from the PPRG, and I'm the founding member of the group. And tonight I want to talk about something happened to me recently at a preliminary investigation of pretty calm. We met, we had some dinner, had some pizza, and had a little pop, what have you. And then we decided we were going to investigate actually in the upstairs attic area. So we went up there, just a few of us, and everybody else decided to leave. And I hung up there by myself. It was pitch dark, and I had a flashlight and a voice recorder. So I decided I'm going to try to make some contact up there. First thing that happened was I sat in this chair and my back was faced towards the back of the wall of the attic. And I was hearing things behind me, like somebody moving. Now, before I went up there, the first thing I did was I walked around, checked for animals, looked for evidence of any animal activity. There was nothing. The place was pretty sealed tight. There's no holes for any animals to get into, squirrels, what have you. So I'm hearing this noise behind me, and I just said, well, look, if you're behind me, don't play those games, come out in front, let me see you. Kept hearing it, and I got a little uneasy, so I decided to get by the chair. Now I face my back towards the stairs coming up from the first floor. As I was doing that, I'm hearing footsteps coming up the stairs. Very creaky stairs, which are going to end up being replaced with new stairs. And I hollered down and said, somebody come up the stairs. They said, no. I said, do you hear that? I believe somebody said yes. So I'm hearing footsteps come up the stairs, and then I hear something behind me kind of pacing, walking around. I says, now stop this. I told you if you're going to come out, come in front of me where I can see you. So I'm waiting for something to come in front of me. I didn't see anything. And probably about 2 seconds after I pretty much said, come out and do this, you know, stand in front of me, I hear something fall by my feet. And it wasn't just fall. It's something that got thrown. Now I'm shining a flashlight. I can't see anything off the bat. So I hollered down, well, something just got thrown at me. So I decided to come down at this point and give it a break. So I came downstairs. We talked a little bit. We were doing some Frank's Box action down there, getting some hits on the Frank's Box a little bit, which is debatable in my eyes. But nevertheless, it was cool. So we were doing that, and I decided to take a walk back up in the attic a second time. When I went back up in the attic, my wife, Bunny, who's the co-founder of the group, was staying downstairs, and we were kind of split up a little bit. So some people were sitting doing the Frank's Box. Bunny was sitting kind of off to the side a little bit. So she was doing her own thing. I was up in the attic, and I started feeling uneasy up there, really uneasy, which I didn't feel the first time. So as I was up there, I heard Bunny say something. I came downstairs, and she said she's seen a shadow person. And I said, what do you mean? And she said she was looking in the one bedroom, which is off. It would be where she was sitting, would be off to her left. And she's seen a full figure walk right across the doorway. And that's the first time she ever seen that. And it scared the bejesus out of her. She was a little bit unnerved about the whole situation. As we were down there the rest of the night, we were trying some more stuff at Frank's Box and just talking. Numerous times we've heard stuff in the attic moving around. I can't explain it because we were all downstairs and it sounded like movement. I still have yet to review I had a recorder going through the whole time. I still have yet to review it because I'm a little behind on my review, but it was a very interesting night. And I want to get back to this place and check it out hopefully soon, because I never had anything thrown at me. And side note, we did go up there after everything was said and done a third time in the attic. We turned the lights on, we were getting ready to leave. And I remember I said there's something fell by my feet or got thrown at my feet. Once we turned the lights on, I was looking around and I found what looked like a little clip that you would put, say, in a toolbox, like a drill kit for your drill, electric drill, and it's got little bits in it and stuff. Well, it was laying right off to my left, which is where I heard it. So I said to the lady who owned the house, she said, I never seen that before. So I said, pick it up. I'm going to close my eyes and just kind of throw it at my feet. And I want to hear what it sounds like with my eyes closed. So she did it, and it was the same sound. There was another item that was sitting there, too. And I said, throw that. And it didn't sound anything like it. She threw that again. I heard it. I know what that sound is. It's the exact sound I heard. So this little, whatever it was, little piece, came from who knows where. She never seen it before, and it was thrown at me. So maybe that's a way of them, whoever, telling me, I'm here, and, you know, don't piss me off. So, that's my story. I'm staying by it.
So I'm here talking with Mike Polaro from Jamestown Paranormal. He's one of the lead investigators, and are you a founder of the group?
Yes.
He's working on setting up the second annual Jamestown Paranormal Convention, and that's going to be happening Saturday, October 13th?
Yes.
And how did your group get involved with starting this?
Actually, it's a work in progress for about 5 years. It was an idea I brought to the group about 5 years ago, and we put it on the back burner for a while. And then just a couple years ago, I said, hey, let's get this convention going, because Jamestown's never seen anything like this before, you know. We never had nothing like this here. So I wanted to see exactly how it was going to come over, you know. And last year, we did really well. We had well over 1,000 people that, you know, came and, you know, and donated to breast cancer. And it was just a really cool thing. So we just wanted to keep it going this year, too.
Like group-wise, and who came out last year?
Last year we had Resident Undead, Beyond Ghost. We had Southern Tier Ghost Hunters, Special Action Team, Paranormal Action Team, they came out. We had Eric Altman, a Bigfoot researcher.
Mm-hmm.
We had Richard Dolan, he's a UFO researcher. Who else did we have? We had Casper, we had John Sable. We had quite a few groups last year, and we got a little more this year.
That's great. Yeah, it sounds like an awesome allotment of people. This year, who do you got that you think it might be of interest?
Well, we have, I'm not really sure how she pronounces her name. It's London Knight or Loudon Knight. I'm not really quite sure how she does that. She's the lead investigator of the Annieville Horror.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's going to come out and do a presentation for us. She's going to be speaking for us. Her presentation is going to be for, you know, people from 18 and older, because she says she has graphic photos and she has a real story about what happened in the Annieville Horror. Again, we have Richard Dolan, the UFO researcher. We have two Bigfoot researchers this year, Eric Altman and Steve Cools. He's coming in. Group-wise, we have Resident Undead is coming back. Beyond Ghost is coming back. We have Flagship Paranormal. Who else do we have? We have Tonawanda Moose. Eerie Paranormal. There's a bunch of them. I don't actually have my list with me at this time, but we do have about 20 different groups coming here this year.
Wow, I can't believe you remembered all that without a note.
It's just I keep writing it down all the time, so it's just like a stuck in my head. We also have an auctions. Right now we're auctioning off like autograph photos of, you know, like the Ghost Hunters, Steve and Tango. We auction off different groups' T-shirts. If there's a group out there that can't attend the convention, we ask them to send us one of their team shirts, and we auction that off to help raise even more money for breast cancer. And right now, I do believe our auction is up to about $1,200 so far.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm planning on being there too, although I'm a slack. I haven't gotten my checkout yet. Do you still have any tables left, if anybody else even wants to go?
Yeah, we still have tables. We'll be selling tables right up until the weekend before it.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I'm definitely down to be a part of this. Sounds like a good time.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. We're going to have the pizza ladies inside selling their pizza and wings and french fries, and outside we're going to have the chicken barbecue guy, so he's going to be outside grilling chicken outside.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to just try to, we want to make it bigger and better every year.
That's great, and the whole event is geared as a benefit for breast cancer awareness.
Exactly, yes. Proceeds go directly to, breast cancer. Again, the tables are $30 a piece, and everything just goes directly to breast cancer awareness. We're trying to fight and trying to help, help the people that need the help. There's people out there that really need help, and that's what we're here for. The paranormal unity is more than just going in and trying to help somebody with a little paranormal going in their home. We want to help other people as well, and that's why we got this convention going.
Awesome. All right, Mike, so once again, that is the Jamestown Paranormal Convention, which is coming up Saturday, October 13th, 2012. What time is it starting?
Starts at 10 a.m. and it ends at 8 p.m.
And if you're not a vendor and you just want to go to it, how much is the entry fee?
$6 at the door.
Can't beat that. You really can't.
No, you can't.
I mean, for all that stuff. And then where can people get a hold of you guys or find out more information? I know you got a Facebook presence for sure.
Yes, we have. You can find us on Facebook at Jamestown Paranormal Convention. Or you can find us on our website. We keep it going on that. It's called Jamestown Paranormal investigators.webs.com. We keep updating on that just as well.
Well, listen, Mike, thank you very much for talking to me this evening, and I'm looking very much forward to this convention.
So thanks once again for listening to the Haunted Buffalo podcast. I hope you enjoyed this last half hour or so, and I hope you call me or write in with your stories. Don't forget, you can send them in to thehauntedbuffalo.com. There's a link to submit your story. You can email me at thehauntedbuffalo@gmail.com, or you can actually even call me if you're within the continental United States at 716-222-1042. That's 222-1042. And if I don't answer, please just feel free to leave a message with your story, and I'll be happy to put it on the podcast. Also, if you are involved in a group that would like an interview, same thing. Give me a buzz. I'll be happy to put you out there and get more exposure for you. So, once again, this is Eric Charles T. from the Haunted Buffalo, signing off. So, until we meet again,
beware. And don't forget, the dead can't hurt you. Or can they?